from your day gone by. All the things are gonna get you by, 'cause the road is right here before us. And you know it goes on and on, drifting out in river songs. It's just you and Lady Faye. Could you believe it's just you?
Is not so overt now but politicians are still being bought. What is a modern congressional, presidential, or judicial campaign today but a race for the money? For he who gets money can buy media, and the media decides races. In a real sense, all the court did was open up the spigot for more dough from corporate coffers. In essence, the court said, it's not enough to rent politicians. Now you can own them. Stimulus package. What makes this case remarkable isn't so much the result, for that was politically predictable, but the court's reliance on precedent that actually wasn't precedential. For in the case Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad, 1886, used as the foundation for the principle of corporate personhood, that principle appears nowhere. But the court clerk wrote it into the head notes of the case, and 124 years later, an era became law, law became precedent, and precedent guides today's decision, which favors corporate wealth and power over democracy. In the 1800s, during the age of the corporate giants, who came to be known as the robber barons, multimillionaire Andrew Carnegie, threatened with laws to restrain his corporate strength, remarked, "What do I care about the law? Ain't I got the power?" Thanks to the Supreme Court, they've got more power. From death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
And thank you, Mumia. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. This is Bathrob Spears Broadside, February 25th, 2010 edition. Coming to you a little bit late, but don't go away. We're here.
Well, Americans are very friendly people, as countries right next door will recommend. We never mess with other countries' business, but if we do, we hope we'll still be friends. We care about the way you run your country, and we'd like to be supportive if we can. If someone's running out of ammunition, we're proud to be the first to lend a hand. Well, but let's just have an next war at the White House, so our president won't have so far to go. We'll have it in our own backyard the next time, yes. We'll host the show and bring the party home. Well, war is hell, we know, but still we love it. We love it, but it's also far away. Let's cook at home next time instead of cater.
Favorite from Carol Denny, Bring the Party Home, from her CD, You're Spending Too Much Money on Your Hair. Well, It's Thursday, February 25th, and I'm back in town and glad to be here. Yeah, well, a little overheated at the moment, rushing to get to the studio, but generally feeling pretty good. Glad to be back. As I said, I've got some interesting clips from Detroit where I've been spending the last couple of days. Some of you may have listened last night to the Homelessness Marathon, the 13th Annual Homelessness Marathon, and I was a small part of that, but I actually did a little help behind the scenes as well as hosting an hour or two. And it's actually still available for those of you who are interested online at the homelessnessmarathon.org. I believe that's the right address. I'm going to double check that in a moment. But the whole thing is archived, as are prior homelessness marathons, which interesting in the breadth and passion that they convey. It's really, I do a lot of this stuff all the time, twice a week, mostly local, mostly around the civil rights aspect of the homelessness situation. But it's still, it's well put together. It's a little too soft on the politicians for my taste on occasion, although not always. So you'll be hearing a few of the interviews I did kind of off the air with some of the folks. Let's see how they sound. Here's a caller now. Hello, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Hey, Robert, it's Uncle Dennis. Let me turn my radio down.
Free Radio with Robert. Good.
Hey, Robert, it's Uncle Dennis.
Yeah, I get to hear you again there.
I better get away from it. I can't seem to turn down.
Hey.
Anyway, I just wanted to mention that the free radio broadcast of the Homelessness Marathon went off as scheduled, and folks here in Santa Cruz got to listen to all of it except for the second hour within which we broadcast our normal news. So we broadcast it.
Well, thank you very much, Dennis. And I know that if those who are listening actually want to hear every single hour of the 14 hours, they can go to the archives and at thehomelessnessmarathon.org and hear it there. So,
if they want to.
Yeah. Hey, well, thanks again, Dennis. And I know you were instrumental in assisting putting this together. And thank you.
You're welcome, Robert. We'll do it again next year.
Well, I'm glad
to
hear
it. See you in a couple hours.
All right, man. Thank you.
Bye.
And Dennis will be here, indeed, with From the Cream to the Dregs, where he'll be presenting 3 hours of music and informational updates on environmental subjects and beer reports, too, I suppose, or ale reports. Who knows? I mean, there's all kinds of things that happen on free radio, which probably most of the regulars have become extremely bored with and have gone off to do something else. I know if I were trying to listen to my show, I'd... Other than the fact that it's by me, and of course I'm fascinating, I wouldn't necessarily want to listen to it too much, but there are some who seem to enjoy it, so that's why I do it. And I also think most of what I do here essentially involves providing speaking time for people on the streets around issues that they don't get to talk about or that nobody in power is listening to, and it's important, I think, that kind of information get out. So I'm going to begin with a little from Santa Cruz, some street interviews, kind of a little catch-up interviewing, and then I'm going to turn to Detroit, play a few interviews there, although for those of you who want to, perhaps some of you already have listened to the Homelessness Marathon, which ran last night from 4 o'clock to... That's right, from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday to 6 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday. So a lot of that has been played. I did do interviews off the air, which I think are interesting. But when you interview people from other cities, you're not talking about Santa Cruz directly or specifically. And I really try to often bring that home as much as possible, although I'll occasionally launch into a tirade about the war abroad or the national corruption or whatever, but that, of course, has local implications. But it's good to be as specific as we can, because this is where we can actually do something rather than sit around and make brownie points about having the right opinions and that sort of thing. Call-in number here is 427-3772, 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz, and I'll be taking your calls. I'm hoping to get a call from Attorney Jonathan Gettleman, who is fighting to save the rights of Anna Richardson, and also Miguel de Leon, or Lito, two homeless musicians who are facing, are in the midst of a unique restraining order, which is apparently going to be used to try to jail them without a trial, without the chance to interrogate, cross-examine witnesses, without even a criminal conviction. This is a bizarre and end-run process being used by City Attorney John Barisoni, and it's one that actually provokes some pretty strong words from Attorney Jonathan Gettleman to me. I don't know if he wants those to be public. He was upset at the whole thing. He will talk about this himself on the air if he either comes in or calls in. He said he was going to do one of the two this evening. We go for another hour and 45 minutes, so that should give him some time to come in. So while we're, I don't know if we'll be waiting for that, but that is something that kind of awaits us, or hopefully it'll be coming up. I'm going to begin with some street interviews. And, of course, your phone calls. If you call in, we'll talk. There's also going to be an event coming up I want to mention. I've been reading about it on Indie Bay. It's kind of interesting. Indie Bay is Santa Cruz Indie Media, www.indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, our local Santa Cruz Indie Media, one of the blogs. And there's a long thread following an announcement of a Lower Ocean Block Party tomorrow night. And the announcement is that from 5 to 7, Friday, February 26th, tomorrow, at the end of Barson Street, down the stairs as you cross the Laurel Bridge at the corner of Laurel and San Lorenzo. Not quite sure where that is, but this is going to be a... apparently there's a group called Take Back Santa Cruz, which is descending upon the Lower Ocean neighborhood in front of Little Caesars at Ocean Barson at 6:30. And they'll be advocating an increased police presence, more surveillance cameras, and for neighbors to call the cops first and ask questions later. While this group claims to promote a safer Santa Cruz, we feel that their goals will make most of us in the Lower Ocean neighborhood less safe. We will not be safer if cameras watch our every move or if police feel welcome to enter people's homes, harass groups hanging out, and report people they detain to the ICE, immigration authorities. Remember, rather than create an atmosphere of suspicion and distrust where we jump to calling the police before we talk to each other, we want to live in a community where we know our neighbors and take care of each other. Let's get together and have a good time and talk about the future of our community Friday, February 28th, the end of Barson Street, down the stairs as you cross the Laurel Bridge at the corner of Laurel and San Lorenzo. And I think must be on the Lower Ocean side of the San Lorenzo River. I'm assuming that's where it is, rather than on the boardwalk side. But if anybody has more specifics, please call in, 427-3772. And there's going to be a barbecue potluck, music, discussion, and free food. So perhaps there'll be a discussion between Take Back Santa Cruz and the folks coming to the street party near the San Lorenzo River. We'll see what happens. And that's, again, tomorrow between 5 and 7 downtown next to the San Lorenzo Bridge. I'm not quite sure if that's what it's called, at the corner of Laurel and San Lorenzo streets. I think I know where that is. That's Laurel is actually becomes Broadway on the, I guess it's the east side of the river. I'll have to consult a map. Anyway, definitely I'm going to be sniffing around in that neighborhood trying to find what's going on, and I encourage others to do the same. Also to go online to read the various comments, of which there are many, about this whole event coming up and the whole motivation behind the Take Back Santa Cruz group, which is looks like to me sort of a vigilante group that some right-wingers have organized to catch up homeless people, panhandlers, Latinos, drug dealers, marijuana smokers, all kinds of folks all in one huge net, and dump them all in the surf. Seems to be the plan, and it's not my idea of how to deal with real problems of safety down in Santa Cruz, and much less how to deal with discrimination in Santa Cruz, which is what we really face, which is a police increasing police harassment of innocent people whose main crime is they're poor and homeless and they're in public spaces. And they annoy, their very presence annoys the upscale sensibilities of some merchants and some residents. And, of course, that's not to mention some developers and some politicians and, of course, and some police officers. Let's get to some street interviews.
So I'm chatting with Colin Campbell Clyde, and Colin, it's about 2:20 on the 8th of February. We, of course, just spoke with Jeremy Kacmarek Ajax Straw, who had some rather serious charges about how police treated him last Thursday night. You've had some, you weren't a witness, but you said you're concerned about this.
Yeah, Jeremy's a good friend of mine, and I'm concerned on general principle if the police are going around beating people up unprovoked and holding them without charges, or at least when he was eventually charged, but when he was in jail and asked to know what his charge was, he was told to shut up. He was pepper sprayed for continuing to demand to know what his charge is, and that's a basic right.
Assuming, of course, his account is accurate. Now, as I understand it, actually, he wasn't charged. He was released as part of a detention, which happened supposedly for public intoxication.
And, you know, my understanding is that they had not administered any alcohol tests, so I don't know if they can charge how they can charge somebody with that when they haven't done the scientific testing to prove that the person is intoxicated.
Standard practice in Santa Cruz, unfortunately. But you say that you have gotten sufficiently concerned about this. You've set up a Facebook group?
Yeah, it's called Justice for Jeremy Kacmarek, and we are, well, Jeremy's filed a lawsuit or is in the process of, and then we are demanding an independent investigation of the incidents, and we're demanding that the city council release an official statement of their position on the incident.
And, of course, this will be happening at city council maybe tomorrow at 3 o'clock, eh?
Yeah, it's quite possible that we'll be there to speak.
Because that's the only council session for two more weeks. There isn't one in the evening, just at 3.
Okay.
So,
good to know.
Did you see Jeremy that night?
I was out of town, so I didn't see him until I got back into town a few days ago.
But you're sufficiently persuaded of his reliability, the accuracy of his accounts. Is he a drinker?
I wouldn't call him an alcoholic. I mean, he has a few beers every now and then.
And is he known to be violent or angry when he has been drinking or at other times?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, Jeremy really strikes me as being a really decent, honest guy, and that's part of why I'm appalled by the fact that this happened to him. I mean, not that it would be any more justified if it happened to somebody else, but he doesn't strike me as the sort of person who would go around, you know, antagonizing the police.
You've been in town for, what, at least a number of months, maybe a number of years?
Years.
And is this frequent occurrence by the police department, or has it happened more? Has it happened recently? Again, anybody else you know, and is it increasing or decreasing?
It seems to me like the level of violence that's involved in this particular incident is an aberration, which is another reason that I'm alarmed by it. I really want to make sure there's a strong public backlash against this, so the police don't think that they're setting a precedent that they can just go around beating people up.
And what was claimed by Jeremy Kacmarek, who's also known as Jack Straw, and I've written up the account I heard from him on Santa Cruz Indie Media, indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. You can go to that website and look on the extreme right side, and you'll go down and you'll find a story. You can Google for Robert Norris and Jeremy Kacmarek, C-A-S-I-M-I-R, Kacmarek, and you may find that story. But again, I wasn't a witness, and I'm not interviewing anybody other than the person who describes himself as the victim. And so one has to understand that is the perspective from which we are looking in on this particular claim. He told me, and I have a lengthy audio interview with him, which I'm intending to play on Sunday. I was going to hold it back and give him an opportunity to deal with any potential charges, of which there are apparently none, or talk to a lawyer in case he wants to file a civil lawsuit against the Santa Cruz Police Department or the jail. But I haven't heard from him, and I'm a little worried that he may have disappeared in not necessarily the most savory of manners. I have no evidence that there's a problem, but he was quite prompt in returning all my calls in the past. He also has a voicemail that's pretty straightforward. He has a company that he apparently says he works with. I think it's some sort of internet company. And I'm just concerned about him, and if I don't hear from him, I'm going to play this account on the air, and he'll be able to hear his own testimony about what he says happened to him in downtown Santa Cruz and Pacific Avenue. And that essentially involved his being approached, asked if he had broken some bottles on the street. He said no, he hadn't. He wasn't sure what they were talking about. Officers demanded or requested his ID. He gave it to them and began talking to them. After a period of time, he said an officer just came up from behind him, tackled him, took him down, pepper sprayed him, handcuffed him. I originally said in the story he was hogtied. That is not accurate as far as I got from his second interview. He wasn't hogtied. He was simply handcuffed, taken to jail, where he was all his property, including his sleeping bag and his other gear, were taken from him and held over the weekend, so he didn't have access to it that night. He was finally released 3 in the morning without any of that property and onto the street under a discharge. It happens supposedly when someone is publicly intoxicated and then they've released them later. Well, at the jail, he claimed he was moved to 3 different cells, pepper sprayed, refused access to a telephone, and finally released with no breathalyzer or blood test, although and the Santa Cruz County Jail, as most may know who are familiar with this whole situation, they don't give people who are on foot the dignity or the security or even the honesty of a blood or breathalyzer test. Even if they request it, they simply leave it up to one of Mayor Mike Rotkin's favorite things, officer discretion. And so if the officer thinks you are drunk on the streets, he just takes or she just takes you in. And that means that not that you had a little too much to drink or you couldn't drive a car. Under the state law, you're not supposed to be charged with public intoxication unless you are unable to take care of yourself, which means you have to be pretty damn drunk. And my general experience with police officers taking in people is if they want to take them in, if they can smell alcohol on their breath, that becomes the pretext, at least in terms of several cases that I have heard accounts of. I wasn't present for most of those cases, but from what I understand, it's essentially a blank check for the police, which they use when they feel like it. If you like that kind of thing, that's what you got in Santa Cruz. Anyway, you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. We're listening to Colin Kevin Clyde talk about the case of Jeremy Casimer. Colin never made it to city council the next day, but I did, and I spoke about my concerns about that case and about their behavior in shutting down all new medical marijuana club applications and a few other things, which I don't know if I played that yet on the air, but I probably will at some point if I haven't, but it's nothing new to anybody who's listening to my broadcasts. So let's hear some more on the street. And this is about, I think we're talking February 10th or 11th of this month. Of course, it would be since it's February, wouldn't it?
Without any consequences for it.
I know that you yourself were victimized, not by police, but in a sort of
security guard. Security guard at the metro station. Yeah.
Tell me about that. What happened there?
I didn't have a bike lock at the time, so I'd kind of hidden my bicycle behind one of the bus stops and run in to use the bathroom really quick, came back out, and he was taking my bike away. I said, that's my bike. Could I please have it back? Basically a physical scuffle ensued that was provoked by the security guard.
How did he provoke it?
He slammed only after grabbing me and shaking me back and forth
and why
in an aggressive manner.
Why did he decide to stop doing that?
I think because I was yelling at him at the top of my lungs, you are assaulting me, this is against the law, you are assaulting me.
And where did this happen?
Oh, this happened right out in the main metro station, right where the buses pull in.
Indoors or outdoors?
Outdoors.
And so it was right next to where you get your tickets and on that side of the bus area?
It was where the buses actually pull up.
Next on the side nearest the ticket area?
Closer to the main building, yeah.
And were there witnesses to this?
There were witnesses, but I was unable to track them down afterward.
And when did this happen?
10 o'clock at night. It happened about a year ago. I was living on the streets at the time, so I didn't really have it together to follow up those pressing charges.
Do you remember the name of the security guard?
I just remember he was a big bald guy.
Was he Anglo, Hispanic?
I couldn't tell you what his ethnicity was. It was dark.
Hmm. Well, I know I've had my own share of run-ins or run-in at the metro, and I appreciate the update and your support for the man who alleges he was harassed, pepper-sprayed, thrown to the ground, dragged off to jail without good cause, and then treated abusively at the jail as well, Jeremy Casimir. And we've been talking with
Colin Campbell Clyde, and just to make an announcement, I'm considering running for city council, and I'll be running on a platform of investing in economic development is the real way to reduce crime, not increased police presence is a band-aid after the thought, which doesn't really deal with the underlying problems. So we need to create jobs for people. We need to create educational opportunities for people so that people can improve their lives and be less inclined to want to commit crime. And that's what's going to create a better downtown for everybody. I'm also running on a platform of people should be able to legally have fun, and that includes roller skating downtown and blowing bubbles and sitting on benches and smoking marijuana if that's the kind of thing that you're into, and all those things are fun, and drum circles are fun, and so I'm the pro fun candidate, and if the people I'm running against want to position themselves as the anti-fun candidate, they can go right ahead.
Sounds very suspicious to me. Thank you, Colin.
You're welcome.
All right, I'm out here on a really chilly evening. It's the 9th of February. It could be worse. It's true. In front of New Leaf Market. What's that?
It's the 9th already.
It is the 9th, and it's about 10 to 9 on the 9th. And we're talking with?
Timaya.
And Timaya, you mentioned you were educating a young police officer earlier.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was older than him, but we were standing like right over here at the lamppost at is this Cathcart?
This is the Cathcart's a block up. This is Lincoln, and this is the railing here.
Yeah. Okay, so right in front of
the New Leaf Market railing.
Uh-huh. And this officer says, I can't remember what else he said, but he also said, "Don't you guys have anywhere else better to hang out?
A house,
like
something
maybe
about
a house? And I told him that I was like, that's a very ignorant statement. And I told him why, but he didn't really listen. But I mean, he kind of did. And then after a few minutes, he talked to other people. And then I looked at him and I was like, you know what? That was lame. And I just kept walking. He's like, I'm sorry. I was like, no, you're not. And I just kept walking. But he also knows that I said that I was older than he was. I feel like I made him feel like that.
But he stayed and you left.
Well, he did stay, but the thing is that, I mean, I was saying that that was very rude of him to say what he said, you know, don't you have somewhere else to better to hang out, like a house? And I said that was very ignorant because not everybody is cool enough to have a house.
Or rich enough. Now, when
or
was
rich
this?
Enough.
Was
or
this yesterday or today?
This was about half a week ago.
And were there a lot of other folks around, or just...
There was just a few. Just a few of the normal people, and unfortunately, those people decided to be complete dicks when it came to...
So you produced...
When it...
In the studio.
When it came to...
I don't know.
See, now I'm totally thrown off. Thanks, guys. Can I hit that?
Yeah, that's the story. We have some aggressive local individuals are interrupting this important conversation.
We have lovely people that probably are in the same boat that I could ever be. They just happen to be happy and coming.
Very happy and a little intoxicated. But thank you for the...
Well, so am I.
Well, you're not that intoxicated. You're articulate. We actually had a bit of information.
I think we've already gone over this.
We probably have, but you mentioned that you were, about 10 years ago, you got a citation for smoking marijuana about a block away from here.
I was 19 years old. I was going to my anthropology of religion class. I like to get stoned before that class. She's a brilliant storyteller, and so is her husband. And somebody, it was Farmer's Market Day, somebody called the cops on me, and thank goodness it was the same cop that I called. I didn't call him, but he happened to be there. I knew who stole the purse out of my van, and I was like, hey, that guy stole the purse out of my van. So neither here nor there. That same officer was the one that busted me for smoking weed because somebody called the cops on me.
This was not Sergeant Harms.
No, it was not Harms. It was a very nice guy.
By busted, you mean wrote you a citation?
He wrote me a citation. He's like, look, you're in your vehicle. It's all good. Just give me what you got. You've been very honest. It's all good. So, okay.
He stole your marijuana, and it was very nice to you.
Yeah, no, he was cool because he's like, you've been cool. I'll be cool. So,
anyway, 8 years later, Sergeant Harms came up to you.
Eight years later, I have not paid. I paid a little bit on that ticket, but not the full thing. So Harms tricks me into giving my name. He says, you look familiar. What's your name? I've gone to high school in this town. I'm used to people from all walks of life saying, you look familiar. What's your name? Even officers.
Sergeant Harms knows that.
He didn't know that because...
No, he knows that that's the kind of tactic you use with people to get them to...
I know. Yeah. That sucks. He didn't
speak
even
freely.
Grow up here. And if he did, he's way too old to understand where I went to school.
It's police training.
Either way, I'm used to...
But in any case, what happened then after he learned who you were?
He left.
Yeah.
And then he came back and arrested me.
And he handcuffed you and took you to jail.
And every sheriff in the jail laughed and said, who arrested you? Really? $143 and you got arrested?
An 8-year-old marijuana ticket.
Yeah. At $143 when I'm sitting in a holding cell with two chicks that have $5,000 bail.
Well, you should be pleased to be in more costly society.
I got time served, so I'm stoked on that. But
you wondered about that. Sergeant Harms, the friendly Sergeant Harms, apparently, you know what they say, keep out of harm's way. We're here on the streets in front of Borders talking with Robert Blindbear. And, of course,
Tamarack.
And the little-known
Ken Minton.
And you're next to one of the sole benches on, maybe there are two or three other benches on this block. This is the famous Borders bench, the only remaining bench in the bench wars against the homeless and actually elderly residents living nearby. But you are musicians. We have a drum nearby, and apparently police have recently contacted you. Is that correct, Blind Bear?
Well, the police came by, and they told us they had a complaint, so we quit playing.
I see. Did they tell you that you were playing unreasonably loudly, or did they say somebody thought you were playing unreasonably loudly?
They actually indicated that somebody thought we were playing unreasonably loudly. I assumed that someone was probably tired and was trying to sleep, so we quit playing for them.
Though it is only 9 o'clock.
Well, you can sleep just about any time of the night.
Or any time of the day, as we learned in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz on January 6th.
That was a little different story. I'm not sure that they were trying to sleep. I think they just wanted to hassle us.
That's correct. We're, of course, referring to the incident where the fine song Downtown, sung by the Santa Cruz singers, you were one of them, was driven, shall we say, into ticket land by Sean Riley, the complainant who was on the second floor above the bookshop Santa Cruz. We did our homeless tabling on that day. Do you have any comments on this police activity? Did you see it happen?
Yeah, I heard the music. It was wonderful. I was just enjoying the music, and the police pulled up and asked them to call it a night, and they said fine and have a nice day, and it was all quite peaceful.
Now, did we get any idea whether this person was a complainer, you know, were they trying to sleep illegally in this building, since you're not allowed to sleep in a building that isn't a residence, and Borders is not a residence, or were they, you know, several, maybe in that building half a block away, were they four blocks away with a telescope? I mean, you have no idea where this actual complaint was coming from. Or did the officer say?
They didn't say.
Who was the officer? Did you recognize the individual?
I believe he's known as Winston.
Ah, yes. But they say Winston sights good like a officer should. Tamarack, do you have any comments on this situation? I know you mentioned it briefly that the police were mellow with you.
The police were totally decent. And somebody must have called. So when they do, the police have to come. The police probably really don't want to come. And the police were just decent. They said they had a complaint, and so we basically have to stop them.
Well, I have a complaint against those who make those kind of complaints.
It's understandable, you know, because someone's called. So they're enforcing the police to enforce that situation.
Well, it depends whether you're violating the law. People can complain all day and all night, but are you causing a problem?
The police could make a very uncomfortable kind of scene for you.
Or they could actually enforce the law and say, that's not unreasonable noise until 10 o'clock. Keep playing.
They do that sometimes.
I've never, ever heard them do that, but maybe you have.
But they're being decent. They could come over and be real meatheads and give everyone a ticket or make the night lousy.
Could have shot you all dead, but I don't want to thank them for not doing that because I don't think that's really appropriate.
But I commend them. I find them quite decent, to be honest.
Fair enough.
That's their way.
You yourself are, of course, a drum criminal.
That's the word.
You're a drum criminal. You're going to court for drumming, are you not?
Yeah.
And this isn't your first offense. You're a known drummer, isn't that correct?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I kind of like, yeah. In fact, this is your drum here, is it not?
Right. I mean, are we going to talk understandably or silly?
A little of both. But let me ask you, you have a date coming up. When is that date, and what do you want people to do? If anything, do you want some support? Do you want people to know about it?
Oh, in a few days.
When will that be?
A few days.
I mean, is there a time and a place you want people to know about?
No.
Okay.
I'm just going to go deal with it.
Okay, so you'll be dealing with this kind of off to the side, so to speak.
Well, head on. I'll just be.
But you don't want public support.
I don't feel I need it. You know, I feel totally within my rights. I don't know what they're going to do that way, but we'll see.
Well, let us know how it goes, and I certainly wish you luck. I think it would be good for us to kind of get together on these issues, because you're not the only one that's giving this kind of treatment, and it might
be
best.
Well, it'd be cool for you, with your kind of work, is write down the names of people that might have had problems, and maybe a phone number if they have it. Because, you know, if they're just jamming people, it's not right. I mean, I basically have one person who's called on me, and he's like being racist. He singled me out.
He's profiling you, or he's...
He don't want me to play, and he's just particularly me. So that is totally wrong.
Now, this ticket was... what time of day did you get this ticket you're going to court for in a few days?
Probably about 8 o'clock at night. I just sat down. I was only playing 15 minutes.
And it was here in this Borders area? Or
no, up the road.
Up the road piece. And did you get any details about what the problem the person had was? I mean, was he ill? Was he disabled? Was he trying to sleep?
No, he just didn't want me to play.
And was it the same officer who came and warned you tonight, Officer Winston, or was it another officer?
It was a woman. She was really quite civil. She was cool.
That's how they do it in Santa Cruz. They civilly remove your rights. It's very nice. I'm afraid you won't be able to sleep
tonight.
They have
a tough balancing act. You know, they're being civil. They could be real meatheads. Go down to Venice Beach or downtown L.A.
Or go to Nazi Germany in 1933. But, I mean, we're here in Santa Cruz in 2010, and that's really what we're working with.
Right, I'm telling you, they're quite civil.
I hear you. But they're civilly removing your right to play. That's what I don't like. Particularly, but
no,
if you don't mind, that's okay.
A rock in a hard place.
No, they can say we will talk to the person and suggest it's not unreasonable.
Did, but the guy demanded, and if they demand,
their option is to say go to the city attorney or to the district attorney and file a complaint. We don't think it rises to a probable cause of violating an ordinance. They have that option.
Well, it's obvious what option they took.
Correct. That's their choice, though. So they're not as nice as you think they are.
No, they enforced the police to do that.
They can't enforce the police. The police have the discretion to do it or not.
We're at a difference. He called. He was creating the problem.
Right.
The police woman was being civilized and dealing with it in the most commendable way.
He wrote you a ticket. I don't think that's civilized or commendable.
He demanded.
It doesn't matter. He does not. He doesn't
he
have to.
He told her she had.
He doesn't have to write the ticket. That's
he
the law.
He doesn't have to.
No.
But he's a person, and he demanded that she give me a ticket.
But you understand, she doesn't have to write the ticket. The police department has no obligation to do it. They have the discretion to say, we don't think there's probable cause. Take it to the DA or the city attorney and see if they want to file a charge. That's exactly what they did to us the day that we were harassed in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz. We were written tickets, and we said we would like to have a countercharge against the people who wrote us tickets, that it was obviously a false police report. We want you to write a citation. They refused. Therefore, it is discretionary what they do. They told me, go to the district attorney, we'll file a report. They could have said exactly the same thing to this man who wanted to write you a ticket, saying, sir, it's before the 10 o'clock noise curfew. Mr. Tamper.
Yeah, he didn't know that, I told him,
yeah.
And she told him. But
he can demand all he wants. She can say, I'm sorry, sir, and then leave.
This is what you think and you comprehend or suggest.
Yeah.
But what's happened is what he did.
Correct.
He just demanded that.
Just like police officers can choose to violate the law and engage in curbside justice or abusive discretion at any time,
sometimes,
which is what he did.
Sometimes they are.
Right. Well, that's what I think he did.
I find most of them civil here. If you give them some shit, they'll definitely play in that.
I don't think it's civil to write you a citation. I think it is... Unless you are so loud as to really be engaging in unreasonably disturbing noises.
The woman, had to come.
She didn't have to come. She chose to come. The Downtown Association and the residents on the street have a deal whereby they come and deal with a lot of street activity very quickly. She could have come an hour later. She could have come because she had other priorities later. She chose to come when she came. Once she
could have been any one of them.
Right. But once she came, she should have, unless you were playing unreasonably loudly, she should have told the individual, sorry, sir, I'm not going to write out a ticket to this man. Take it to the city attorney. No matter how much he demanded, she would have said, I'm sorry, sir, file a complaint with my sergeant. Good night. She could have done that. I have never heard that being done here, though perhaps it has been done. But to me, that's what should be done.
Right, but this is, yeah, that's what you got going on.
Well, that's what I think is your right.
Right, that's what you said.
Unless your noise is really loud, you know. I mean, if you're
saying that,
right.
But that's what you think.
It is, yes.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with you, Robert. I think you know that the cop. Especially, I don't know if it was the same woman that busted us out in front of Bookshop Santa Cruz, but she didn't give us any time. She came up, she said, we have a complaint. We stopped playing, we said, who complained? And immediately she gave us a ticket. That was not being civil as far as I'm concerned. And I don't believe that Arthur here, you know, he's seen some real, real rough police activity, so he thinks it's really light. But on the other hand, once something starts, you know, it can snowball. And so I believe, you know, that Arthur should think, you know, that doggone it, you know, they could have warned me. They could have, you know, given me a couple of minutes to collect myself and get out of here. They did not have to give me a citation.
Right. Sometimes it's brutal. I agree. Sometimes it's brutal. No matter what you say or do, you're getting a ticket. It's like brutal, and it's going to cost you a big headache. Sometimes that happens. There's some that do that at times. That happens. I know. But I find usually if you're civil with them, they're civil with your back.
Yeah,
you know?
We need to be evolving as a society and to be moving forward for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Aren't we supposed to be heading into a direction where, you know, truly, you know, that the I like where we were at when I was a kid. You know, on the side of the car, it said protect and serve. I thought they were servants of us, you know. All of a sudden, there's this thing. They're the go-to people for protection, you know. And the truth is, how many times have they actually protected you? You know, the bottom line is they're out there swarming the streets to inflict, you know, it seems to me like income for the city, right, the infrastructure, whatever, and in that we aren't gaining any more serenity, and on the contrary, it seems like, you know, as the police force in this nation has doubled in a decade. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. Doubled.
They still ain't done a darn thing for anybody.
And I don't feel any more safer than I did 20 years ago.
But there's a lot more people in jail. Don't you feel better about that? Marijuana arrests have gone up in Santa Cruz from 130 6 months ago to 160 in the last 6 months.
And every single one of those people in jail have families with children that are counting on dad to work.
The menace of grass. Have you ever considered that?
It's just the most ludicrous. How many
now,
people?
Drumming and grass are serious offenses. And besides, these officers are very civil about what they do. They're very civil about everything.
Robert, I know you're being sarcastic,
yes.
But I think that somebody might actually think you're serious. So I think you should, you know.
Robert here is. I can't. Are you suggesting I'm joking? For heaven's sake.
Come on, Robert. You know, I mean.
I have to say, the people who listen to my show generally know that my point of view is rather critical to police force. You heard me dialoguing with Tamarack here about the issue. He has, you know, he has a somewhat more, I think, gentle view of the police than I do, and
they are pretty good here on as a whole. I mean, they really are. I think they do handle our culture here in Santa Cruz with kid gloves. But on the other hand, nationwide and here too, we're not moving towards a safer, more loving community. We're headed to a more exclusive,
disconnected
society. Good word. And you know what? I pictured this world to be more picnics with families in the park as I got older. I walk out there now on a Saturday afternoon, it's like a ghost town. What's happened to our society? It's families.
It's becoming more and more disconnected and fragmented. If you guys all saw Avatar, you could see how the sky... Do you see Avatar?
No, I didn't.
Well, then there's kind of no sense talking about it. But how the people in the system are disconnected from the source. And that's happening in the society.
It's come back, though. I think ultimately we are blossoming into the society and the world we always wanted.
And on that note of hope, I leave these three wise men on the sidewalk, surrounded by surrounding the only bench within a quarter of a block.
And you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. The name of the show is Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. I'm Bathrobes Pierre. I'm also known as Robert Norris. You can call me and give your own thoughts. Have you had problems or perhaps positive interactions with the Santa Cruz Police Department? Let's hear about them. 427-3772, if you think they can be educational. Are you a musician performing on the street? How have you been doing in that regard? Have you been observing the scene and you want to make some comments? 427-3772 is the phone number to call. If you want to call off-air because you're a little shy, you got some sensitive information, you just want to get more information for yourself on these issues, you can call me on the Huff line, Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And the phone number is 423-HUFF, 423-4833. If you want to get on the Huff email and read more tales of terror, such as you're hearing on the air, you can send an email to rnorse3, R-N-O-R-S-E, and the number 3, at hotmail.com. rnorse3 at hotmail.com will put you on that old Huff email list. So there's a few options there. If you're interested in our radio station, and our is, of course, a much bigger and more diverse collective than Huff, it's Free Radio Santa Cruz, or Freak Radio Santa Cruz, You can get in touch by leaving a message on the message line at 427-4523, 427-4523. Or you can go to the website, freakradio.org. You can even become a member of the collective if you want to download an application. You can kick down some bucks. You can donate some old equipment, records, tapes, who knows what. You've got questions you want to ask. You want to find out when this show was. You want to get us scheduled. All that is online at freakradio.org. Check it out. We need money. We are running out of cash, so kick down bucks, and you're more likely to hear us in a year from now, if that's something you'd like to hear. So we don't do marathons, telethons, begathons, and so forth. So we just occasionally we have benefits. I mean, you might want to come to one of our benefits. I think one's coming up soon. Uncle Dennis may talk about that on his show, which follows mine in an hour, from the cream to the dregs. You can hear lots of lovingly played music from the 60s and 70s, and you can call in and talk with Uncle Dennis. He's not quite as talkative as I am. He's more into facilitating the station so that others can talk, and I have a lot of respect for that. And I hope that you avail yourself of the resources here and keep those resources going. Free Radio Santa Cruz, a worthy project. We've been going for, 15 years now, since 1995? We want to keep going for another 15 years, or at least some folks do, and maybe you're one of them. Let's take a musical break, another Carol Denny special.
When they foreclose the mortgage and took the old home away.
And that's another one from Carol Denny called Labor in Want. And I couldn't really understand some of the lyrics. The chorus, which you probably do understand, but I had a little trouble until I read the linear notes, was too proud to beg, too honest to steal. I know what it is to be wanting a meal. When I ask for work, they call me a tramp, or they say I'm a shabby genteel. And it's, the name of the song is Labor in Want. And some of the lyrics, can you give any reason how it comes about that my children are dying for bread when I've worked all my life and I'm nearly played out, trying hard to get something ahead? There are some folks I know of that ain't done a lap, and they ride in their carriage and four, and have got so much wealth they don't know where they're at, while the toilers are ragged and poor. When they foreclosed the mortgage and took the old home, it was sad to lay mother away, and I couldn't keep from thinking of what would become of poor Bessie and Benny and May. For I'm getting old now, and my work's nearly done. Upon whom will my darlings depend, without clothing or food, without friends or a home? With the millionaires, will the millionaires care for them then? There is something wrong somewhere as things are right now. Thousands are out of shelter and bread, while the wealth they've created is taken somehow by the trusts and the bankers instead. Nature's done her part well, and the toilers their share to make the world happy and gay. Had the laws been preserved that our fathers prepared, then there's but few would be wanting today. I don't know about that, but it will be equal rights or else slavery and serfs. It is hard telling which way it will go. For the rich, they are figuring to fence in the earth and to own us, both body and soul. But we'll have rights for all and give privilege to none, or we'll march like our fathers in blood, and beneath the same flag we will work, pray, and vote for our homes and our children and God. Too proud to beg, too honest to steal, I know what it is to be wanting a meal. When I ask for work, they call me a tramp, or they say I'm a shabby genteel. That's from Carol Denny's You're Spending Too Much Money on Your Hair. And for those who just tuned in, you're listening to Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM. We go till 8 o'clock. You can also hear the show, or actually a different version of it, but a longer one, at on Sunday mornings, 9:30 in the morning to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I invite you to tune in then. I've got a few items I received on the email, which... some of which I passed on along the, what I call the Huff email. And you can, as I said, join the Huff email if you want, simply by sending me an email at rnorris3@hotmail.com. But for those who haven't, I'm going to read a story or two that I got. Here's a story from Rad Times. Man faced with foreclosure bulldozes home. And this is an article by Gary Baumgarten. For people losing their homes to the mortgage crisis, desperate times have inspired desperate measures. If there are any among us who still don't believe that this great recession is devastating, I offer you the story of Terry Hoskins of Moscow, Ohio. Hoskins, who had been trying to work out a loan modification with his bank to save his house from foreclosure, has made good on his promise to bulldoze the house before the mortgage company could reclaim it. Flying an airplane into an IRS building in Austin, Texas, over similar frustrations isn't cool, but this action I like. I can't begin to tell you the number of people I know or have met who are struggling to keep their homes. They are decent people who want to remain in the house and maintain it. All they need is a little relief from their banks. But instead of helping their customers out, the banks are only too happy to evict them. Often the house remains vacant and the bank has to pay for the upkeep. The property erodes, and instead of taking in some money, albeit a reduced amount for the house, they lose any flow of income, and some family finds itself out on the street. A family that probably shouldn't have qualified for the loan in the first place, but was granted it because of the bank's own predatory lending practices, or a family whose head of the household has simply been laid off and fallen on hard economic times. I spoke the other day with a female friend, a single mom, whose ex-husband has hidden assets from her to avoid paying his fair share in child support and alimony. She works three, count them, three jobs in an attempt to keep a house that is home to her and her four children, all of them college-aged, all of them not getting any financial assistance from their father for their educations. She has tried to utilize the programs that are supposedly available to help her keep her home, but the system is far stronger than her. It has beaten her down. Now, this is a tough woman who has successfully battled cancer. She's someone I admire because she has been doing all the right things to provide for her family without outside assistance. She probably could have gone on welfare rather than work three jobs, but that's just not her nature. And the improvement she made on this house over the years, it has an amazing garden and yard, the result of her long hours, of her tender, loving care. Of course, none of this matters to the bank. The answer is no to her request to refinance the house. It's a surefire bet that once they evict her, as they surely will, the value of that property will decrease. I doubt that my friend will rent a bulldozer and knock the house down like Terry Hoskins did, but there are millions of Terry Hoskins and people like my friend who have reached the end of their rope. They are our friends, our neighbors, and sometimes us. The nation should be in crisis mode over this. Real programs to help people, laws to protect them are needed. The time for words is over. It's time for action. The discontent runs much deeper than the superficial analysis of the Tea Party movement would suggest. But as usual, those insulated within the Beltway are the last to know, and those who do know on Wall Street are too busy counting their bonuses to care. And the second story, which is briefer, says, an Ohio man says he bulldozed his $350,000 home to keep a bank from foreclosing on it. Terry Hoskins said he has struggled with the River Hills Bank over his home in Moscow, Ohio, for years, and had problems with the IRS. He says the IRS placed liens on his carpet store and commercial property, and the bank claimed his house as collateral. Hoskins says he owes $160,000 on the house. He says he spent a lot of money on attorneys and finally had enough. About 2 weeks ago, he bulldozed the home 25 miles southeast of Cincinnati. Messages were left for the bank and its attorney. IRS spokeswoman Jody Reynolds said individual taxpayer information is private, and federal law prevents her from commenting. And that's a story, again, actually from... looks like www.kansascity.com. Maybe it's one of the local papers there. And then from salon.com, which I picked up through the Rad Times email listserv. It's resist@comcast.net in case you want to be on that particular listserv. Interesting and gloomy and... Well, here's something called Trash Talk from the Daily Free Press by Sylvia Kim. Sidewalk, 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 Peter Henley repeated as he pointed out the origins of his cushions, dining chairs, and kitchen table. I've dumpstered food, clothes, and furniture, he said. People throw a lot of good stuff away. You'd be surprised. Henley, a sophomore in the College of Arts and Sciences, lives off campus in Alston. He was introduced to the practice of dumpster diving, or taking residential or commercial trash for one's own need or benefit, the summer before he came to college. We have a call. Hi, you're on Free Radio with me.
Hi, Uncle Robbie. How are you?
I'm good. Who are you, caller?
I am an anonymous caller of yours.
Hey, Anonymous. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm trying to get online right now to hear your show live.
Oh. Well, you are online, and you are actually not only hearing me live, you're speaking live.
Oh, wonderful.
If you want to hear my show, we're at 101.1 FM, or if you don't have a radio, we are at freakradio.org, if you can get onto a computer.
Yeah, I wanted to just kind of comment on the email that you sent out about Gilroy, because I used to live right near there.
Why don't you, you know, we haven't really played that on the air, so why don't you describe what's said in that email?
Well, I read it a few days ago, so I think that if I remember... there's a camp that people have set up who are without a home, and the city is trying to make them all move, I think, with a deadline of under 30 days. I might have the time frames wrong, though.
Vehicle homeless need place to stay. Let's see.
This was sent out, Monday of this week, maybe.
So it wasn't today.
And it was a camp that set up in Gilroy, which is between Watsonville and Morgan Hill,
right.
South San Jose.
I know Gilroy. I'm trying to find it. So why don't you make your comment, and I'll try to find the email so I can actually read it to folks.
Well, I think that while it's disturbing that they're trying to move people out who are homeless. On the other hand, I think that I'm glad that this is becoming something that's being talked about, because towns like Gilroy and Morgan Hill have a very hidden homeless population. And I lived in Morgan Hill for many years, and I can tell you that, like, you know, it would be like a joke. Oh, you would see one homeless person, like, once a year. But there are homeless people that are there, but they're just not out in the open. They're very, very hidden, which I think is what Santa Cruz is trying to become.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's one of the objectives of the Take Back Santa Cruz movement, which is having its little shindig tomorrow, and then there's a counter movement to encourage the entire community to feel good.
I saw that email that there's going to be a counter movement, and if it doesn't rain, I plan on going out, and I hope everyone does.
Right. Now, are you, I'm a little bit confused as to where it is. Are you,
You know where Little Caesars is at the beach flats?
That's where the Take Back Santa Cruz is doing its movement. The other, I think the counter movement of the people who believe in the Downtown for All is happening at Barson and Laurel.
I guess I thought it was going to be kind of like across the street.
Maybe so, although Laurel is not near Little Caesars. I mean, that's Ocean and Barson, I think.
Yeah, I guess I was under the impression that the counter movement was going to be directly across the street.
Well, maybe the counter movement will send a delegation to chat with the Take Back Santa Cruz people.
Okay. I hope so. I think that's a great, I was really excited when I read that someone was doing that.
I know that the barbecue of the folks who believe in Downtown for All is going to be, I guess, 5 o'clock at Barson and Laurel.
Okay.
And the Take Back Santa Cruz thing at Little Caesars happens, I guess, at 5:30. I guess we can go back and forth and have pizza on the one hand and barbecued whatever on the other.
Yeah, I don't want to associate with the Take Back Santa Cruz people. I would be ashamed to be seen with them in public.
Right. Well, of course, remember, you have some people who think they are there because they want to protect the neighborhood from gangs and violence. And they, you know, I think some people are being misled into this group.
Absolutely. You know? I have ended a friendship because she joined that group, and I was like, I couldn't believe that she's a graduate from UCSC, would join a group that's so, you know, is not in any way deconstructing the criminalization of poor. And what? That's like what UCSC's, you know, philosophies are in all of their sociology classes. It's like what, I just was blown away.
Well, that may be their philosophy, but their practice on campus is to ban homeless people from sleeping at night.
Uncle Rockin.
Yes,
the other thing I just want to throw out there, and then I'll let you go, is my suggestion, when they were kind of throwing ideas around about doing a counter movement to Take Back Santa Cruz, I think that we should rent out and do a barbecue at the Mission in Santa Cruz to really highlight, and I might be, you know, on the wrong path here, but, you know, that taking Santa Cruz away from people has already happened in this county, and it slaughtered people, right? The Indians?
The Ohlones, yeah.
So I think that in an act of solidarity, you know, they have that little park at the Mission. We should meet there, you know, and educate people about what exactly they're taking back.
That's, you know, that's an idea. I maybe I'll
Is that too radical?
No. It may be a little rarefied rather than radical. In other words, it may be that, I was seeing something online, was it yesterday's Sentinel about there being some cultural events about the history of the Ohlone people, and there's a little, you know, you can see their baskets and so forth if you go to the Natural History Museum out on, you know, on the ocean.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever been out there. But, you know, I think more important, of course, are the rights of the current day descendants, in a sense, the spiritual descendants of Ohlone Indians who probably were much poorer than the Spanish conquistadors and the American gold miners and, you know, property stealers who followed. And I don't know. I don't want to be, you know, particularly racially oriented, or you own.
Yeah, I agree, and that's why I kind of think that idea didn't take off.
But it's not bad though to think about, you know, what actually happened to the original people and what's being done now to poor people today. If you know, when you talk to your friend, the one that you said you had the disagreement on, you might tell him, you know, that he's invited to call the show. and to discuss his point of view. Maybe he'll describe why he disagreed with you so strongly, and why, you know, did you debate the issue at all, or did he just say, I don't want to talk to you, or how did that go?
Well, my friend and I were both, welfare mothers who went to college, and we, stood in line to get our government food, and at one point in time, we had very like-minded philosophies, that my freedom is if everyone else's freedom. If there's someone not free, then I'm not free, even if I think I'm living a free life. I'm not. If there's other people in this county who are being, oppressed.
Correct.
And I think that just, the everyday living, when you start working after you graduate from college, it's just you decide a path. You either adopt the all-American yuppie lifestyle or you don't.
And she adopted a different lifestyle than you did.
I think so, because I was surprised that, just that. As I read about that Take Back Santa Cruz, I remember when I saw the first ad during the summertime in the Metro.
Uh-huh.
I was, I don't know. I just think there's a lot of discussion there that, is going to have to keep happening about the Take Back Santa Cruz philosophy and the undertones of racism and, the criminalizing the poor. I mean, it's just so, it's blatant, but I say undertone to be politically correct.
So you talked to her about it, and she, what was her response?
The stabbings that happened scared her, and she's lived in Santa Cruz 20 years, and she doesn't remember things like that happening before. And I say, instead of putting energy, all of those people that are in that Take Back Santa Cruz, go volunteer and tutor the kids at the beach flat so that way they have access to education.
It's interesting. The stabbings that appeared, with the big headlines last week outside, there was a bar.
The
Red Room or whatever it was. I saw a story. I've been gone for a couple of days. When I got back, I saw a story yesterday or the day before, maybe it was today, and it was in the back page that said, no one charged in stabbings. And the reason no one was charged was the people who were supposedly the victims didn't want to get the police involved at all and felt it was more trouble than it was worth, apparently in some kind of a private dispute that they had. Not that that's a good way to deal with your problems. But this seems to me to be something that the Sentinel likes to blow up into front page news, and the groups like Take Back Santa Cruz use for their grist and their gruel,
Absolutely.
And I don't see downtown as being any more dangerous than it ever was, unless of course you happen to be poor, in which case you better watch your step, because don't sit down in the wrong place, don't put
or
your backpack down.
Don't sing. How dare you sing downtown?
And don't sing downtown for sure. Which I'll be doing hopefully tomorrow evening if it's not raining at the, this event. I may wander over to the Take Back Santa Cruz and see how they're doing. We can bring along, do a little singing, and invite them to join in.
I think that what you should do is invite people on indie media to take cameras and go and ask Take Back Santa Cruz questions. Develop 5 questions that, reveal their true philosophy and information behind the organization. Maybe they do have merit. Get people with cameras to go and join their group who are peaceful. Not you, Uncle Robbie. You're too well known. You'll just cause controversy. But get some college students with their little cameras and go and ask, or their recorders, and ask Take Back Santa Cruz questions about their philosophy.
Well, I expect you to do the organizing, anonymous one. So you've got 24 hours, so get busy.
Yeah, maybe I'll post something on Indie Media. We'll see.
Do. It sounds like you got the right idea. I appreciate you calling in.
All right, thanks. I just have one last question. My housemate submitted a tape to your show to do a radio show during an open time slot.
Right.
How long does it take before we hear back?
Forever, unless you stay in touch. So I would say call up the free radio line. This is for anybody listening. 427-4523 is the voicemail.
Okay.
Leave a message there, and also call the Huff line, 423-HUFF, and say, and leave the details. I left this whole account, 4 weeks ago. My name is such and such, and I will attempt to pass it on to the Stalinist Central Collective so they can make their informed decision, provided you are politically correct.
Yeah, because we submitted a tape.
Good. Well, they may well be acting on it now. It may well be fine, but, I would say mention it again and also leave a message on the Huff line.
Great. Thanks a lot for the info.
Hey, no problem.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye. And phone lines are open, 427-3772. The story that our caller was talking about, I'll read it in just a moment. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Hey, Robert. Theodora here.
Hey, Theodora.
Yeah.
This is happening in your neighborhood. You're going to have all kinds of groups wandering around tomorrow.
Well, that's why I'm calling, because I wanted to follow up with your conversation with the young gal who just called.
Uh-huh.
And I would like to invite the Block Party folks to come down and mingle with the Take Back Santa Cruz and hopefully with other neighbors. I mean, the Take Back Santa Cruz folks, to some extent, are doing a hit and run, but they are providing an opportunity for the neighbors to come out and start, you know, conversing and meeting each other and, you know, knowing who we are and
putting a face on it.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to see the neighbors who are more drawn to the Block Party also come down and be part of it, because it is a conversation and, you know, and the only way we, the only way we can really deal with community problems in our neighborhood is if we do know each other and we are talking with each other. Otherwise, it's just two different sides of the same coin, and they never meet.
I think that's a great idea, Theodore. I know that, it's really hard to tell from these anonymous comments online, though I guess you've gotten a few comments from the founders of Take Back Santa Cruz who've made some relatively moderate comments in the Sentinel, if the Sentinel's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to either of their last two events. I guess they had one on, you know, Laurel and Pacific, and then they had another one on Laurel and Chestnut. But I may well get to this one. And I, you know, even though I'm recognizable and probably a lot of them don't like me, you know, that's everyone has a right to their opinion. And, you know, I think we all need to be able to talk to each other. And
exactly. Because the bottom line, these problems are bigger than any group of people loitering is going to ever solve.
For sure.
And we are, the Lower Ocean community is a diverse community, and, you know, we got the full spectrum here, and I would much rather see us as neighbors talking to each other than at each other.
Well, I know that one of the things that I think the Take Back Santa Cruz folks have been talking about, and you see it on, I haven't read their advertisement for tomorrow's event, mm-hmm. but they, on the Indy Bay discussion where the barbecue, the opposing event, or the contrasting event, perhaps you might say, you know, the, what were you calling it? You were calling it a...
Well, they're calling it a block party.
A block party. The Take Back Santa Cruz people are the ones who are somewhat more conservative are talking about call the police, you know, with problems. If you see hookers in your neighborhood or people engaging in, quote, illegal activity, unquote, clean up the neighborhood that way. And it's interesting, though, when you go online and you read some of the comments back and forth, one person for Take Back Santa Cruz claims that she or he supports legalizing prostitution and legalizing marijuana, but then says, yeah, but if you got people doing this in front of your houses, you don't want it to happen, and so forth and so on. It's kind of a strange, contradictory position, which kind of makes me suspicious that they want to get the protective color of liberalism in Santa Cruz while actually trying to turn back the clock.
Well, as somebody who lives right in that zone where you see the gals walking by and the guys across the street where two people were murdered,
right?
You know, you see there's a grouping out on the corner every evening of just guys, and they're, you know, any car that drives by, they're quick to see who it is, and it's very clear that this is open-air drug dealing to anybody with half a mind. And frankly, I can't walk up to that group of people and make any difference, but the only difference I would make would be putting myself in danger.
Hmm.
Oh,
hmm.
She lives over there, huh? What can we do to her?
Right, right.
Should I knock on all my neighbors' doors and get a group of us to go over so that we're all in danger? You know, the thing about this kind of, and, you know, I'm not talking marijuana because obviously it's a whole different vibe. And, you know, as far as the prostitutes, I will talk to the prostitutes because, you know, if they're hanging out right outside my door, mm-hmm. yeah, move on. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want you. I don't want to hear you hear what you're doing.
And do they
your
move on
deals
when you,
and whatnot? When, you know, when, you have a house. Go to it.
Do they move on when you ask them to?
Huh?
Do they move on when you ask them?
Yeah. I don't have a problem dealing with the gals, but, you know, I don't know who's got a knife. I don't know who's got a gun for these guys who are drug dealing. And I don't think it's okay. I think it's very naive for folks who, you know, on for very good reasons don't want to deal with the police. I mean, I understand that reality and that philosophy, but here I am. I'm in danger.
Or at least you feel certainly.
I feel
you're
in danger. I don't,
but,
you know. There's,
but let me ask you this.
And let me say, there's been fights over there. Bullets fly. You know, I don't know who's got a gun when they're fighting, and I'm within bullet distance of that. So I think there is a place
how long have you lived down there, Carla?
I've lived here 13 years.
And in the last 13 years, has it been pretty much the same, or has it changed?
I got in here right after the worst of it, I believe. You know, when the neighbors did organize and did some civil lawsuits against some of the more negligent landlords who were allowing blatant criminal activity on their properties, and it was spilling over, you know, and so that cut back on a lot of it. So, but I've seen, you know, the folks across the street. It's been steady since I've been here for 13 years and haven't seen.
Have any of your neighbors been shot or wounded in that period of time that you know of?
Well, right across the street, two men were killed.
Right. Are they your neighbors? Or
is across the street a neighbor?
Right. What I'm saying is that they live across the street.
Yeah.
Okay, so there were two neighbors across the street in that period of time who were injured or killed.
The two men who were murdered about a month ago
lived across the street.
Lived right across the street and are part of this nexus of people hanging out on the corner.
And has there been any investigation?
And apparently, what I'm learning, because I did go to the neighborhood meeting, is that right behind that building in the apartments that are fronting on Riverside, I'm not sure if that's Riverside, but Campbell. I think that's Campbell. But that front on there apparently is known to be a nexus of the El Salvadorian gang. And that's who committed this murder. So we're in the midst of it. These guys are running around and think nothing about shooting off their guns.
And do you have any friends who
with these guys on the corner who are part of that, putting us in danger? Just no cops. Neighbor, will you help me? No. Neighbor, will you? No, I don't want to take a chance. Neighbor, will you help me? Hey, you young guys who don't like cops, are you going to come help me? No, you're not.
Now, by help you, you mean you've never actually been assaulted by any of these people, right?
No, I haven't.
And your property
hasn't
been stolen.
Because I don't go, well, we've had rip-offs on our property that directly related to the drug trade. We've had some of those guys tried to moved into one of my neighboring apartment a few months ago, and started dealing out their window right on Barson. And that's one wall away from me.
Uh-huh. And
am I in danger by that? Of course I'm endangered by that.
Mm-hmm.
Bullets go through walls. So, you know, because they hadn't moved in legally, they had just sublet, it was easier to get rid of them than if, you know, pretty quickly once we brought it to the landlord's attention. But, you know, I didn't call the cops on that one. I just called the landlord because, you know, with the cops.
And nobody retaliated against you for that.
No, because it was handled by the landlord, and it was simply because they just hadn't followed the rules and applied the right way. So it was easy to get rid of them administratively. But they were part of the guys that lived across the street,
well, you know,
or part
you know,
of that grouping.
I've lived in the area around you on occasion too, although not continuously.
Well, you know where I live,
and right, and not for the same length of time you have, but I've been around there a lot. I've based myself there on occasion, and not recently, but I say 5 years ago. And I wonder about, you know, solutions to these problems. I think bringing neighbors out and making the public streets more public is always a good idea. I got no problem with that. I just wonder, I ask fellow free radio broadcasters, how about bringing some, quote, gang members into the studio to talk about their life in Spanish or in English. So you can get some kind of real communication going. And I don't know, obviously that might be hard to do if people are A, undocumented, and B, engaging in this illegal sale of hard drugs.
And, I have no, for my mind, I have no problem. I want to see drugs legalized. So if people want the hard drugs, they can have them. If they want hard pharmaceuticals, they can get them now, you know. And if they want soft herbs, they can get those too. But it's the guns and the knives that go with the situation as it exists now. And short of ending the drug war, which we're not going to do anytime soon, I, as a neighbor, am threatened by the proximity, the close proximity of people with guns engaged in, activity, selling drugs so that they can have some money, and with a total, and they do it so blatantly that there's total disregard for the neighbors.
It seems clear that police have decided to give this a wink and a nod, obviously, and I mean that's what happens.
Well, that's part of what the encouraging the 911 calls is that we do
sure, but I mean
create more pressure.
But the problem, as you know, and because you've studied this issue for years, is if you squeeze it here, it'll go somewhere else. But
well,
it'll still
I tell
be
you,
there.
As somebody who's living right next to it,
I know,
I'm ready
I
for it to
you.
Go somewhere else.
But you know that that's not a solution, except
it's
for
not
you.
It's not a solution,
yeah.
But either yeah. is, you know, either is...
Ignoring it completely.
Either is what I'm seeing. That's why I would like to see both sides talking, because I feel like there's a naivete on the part of the folks doing the block party, and I talked to one of the young men today who came by,
uh-huh.
and I've been naive too. I was young and naive. Can't we all just get along?
Right.
But now that I'm in the midst on a daily level and know that guns can be drawn at any moment and go off, and I might just be driving by at that point, and like somebody was on Mission Boulevard and had their car shot up because two people got in a little fight. With guns on Mission, and that was probably a couple months ago, it's not just a simple thing anymore.
I guess the question I would ask again, I'm not trying to be glib here, but do you speak Spanish?
A little bit.
Have you ever tried to talk to anybody on the street out there that peripherally is involved in drug dealing? And I'd mean hard drug
dealer. I haven't talked with them specifically. One of the other issues we have with that apartment house is that there will be loud music blaring.
Right.
And through the years, I have made efforts to go over and ask for it to be turned down.
Does that work at all?
In broken Spanish. And almost every time I was treated very rudely.
Really?
Yeah. It uh-huh. wasn't like, oops, forgot, sorry.
So your request was ignored.
Eventually it would go down because,
enough people would complain? Or?
Eventually it would go down either because they were done doing what they were doing, but it was never immediate. It was never, oh, sorry, I didn't realize that. I mean, it's an attitude of disregard. Not only are they disregarding the neighbors across the street, that apartment house is filled with families. They're disregarding the people that they live next to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, and these are intimidating males, and in the Mexican culture, the machismo in Mexican culture is designed to intimidate the women. I have my sense is that there's a lot of families living in there that just, they just shut up and go along with it, and these are the dominant males.
And
they use their dominance, and I, as an older white female, have not been, greeted very in any friendly manner, and that's how I go with that attitude of, gee, could you turn it down? We can hear it, and we can't hear our own music.
Mm-hmm.
Simple request, and
it takes forever
to get
a
female
response.
Asking, and they're a male that's got a fuck you attitude. So, no, I do not go talk to the men on the quarter that I think are selling
drugs. I'm not suggesting, that you are derelict in not doing so. I was asking if you had, though, that's all.
Hey, all those guys up in that room were all very friendly with each other until somebody drew a gun and shot the other two.
Well, we don't know what happened in that room. You and I weren't there.
Two men are dead.
Yeah.
And those men were in that room.
And I don't know how many people die in Santa Cruz yearly from domestic disputes who are white and don't deal drugs at all, so... you know, I mean, it might not be, might be very few. I don't know. If, I mean, I haven't got the stats on that, you know, so I don't know. I just, it always worries me. I mean, it would obviously.
I don't think they're going to come over and shoot me.
Right.
But I don't think they're, if things come to that, I don't think those guys,
give a
shit. Whoever did the shooting of the two men across the street, thought for a minute about where else those bullets might go.
Well, I doubt that
there were children living on either side of that apartment. I don't think, you know, those,
yeah,
you
know,
they thought
know.
For a minute
who
might accidentally get caught up
I
in
was
it.
At the Button Street shooting, you know, like 15 minutes after it happened when police shot bullets. I think it was 9 bullets at, you know, this guy in a house. And they didn't, you know, there were kids nearby, you know.
Exactly. And I don't give the cops a pass either.
Right, of course.
But what are, you know, what are we supposed to do? I mean,
I have no direct answer for you.
Exactly. So that's why I would like to see both sides come and talk instead of naively think cops are bad, you know, Mexican drug dealers good.
Or cops a solution to the whole situation.
Yeah.
Let's just, you know, enforce the drug laws. I mean, I think both those approaches sound like they're naive and not going to necessarily address the issue. But
it's short term. But I value my safety in the short term as well as the long term.
Mm.
And, the world is full of ideologues. We don't do it that way,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
I'm one of them, by cracky.
Huh?
I'm an ideologue, I must say. But
well, I'm a practical person,
well,
and
good.
I have my long-term
desires,
but my short-term safety is much more important to me than, holding my breath until Nirvana happens.
Hear, hear.
So, again, my point in calling, though, is that I'd like to see
tomorrow
all
to see
sides of the conversation, and I would like to not see these the block party folks. I'll probably go down there, but I would like to. I'm not part of either group. I'm a neighbor. I live in the neighborhood, and I would like to see both sides talking because it is a bigger issue.
And of course, you also need to invite the third side with some Mexican music. And that probably hasn't been considered much.
Well, every notice that's gone out from both sides is bilingual.
Well, that's good.
And certainly the men across the street that I'm talking about are not typical of all the, you know, Latinos in the neighborhood. There's
for
some
sure.
wonderful families in this neighborhood. Maybe some of them will come out.
Sure, but I'm suggesting that they be invited as well.
Well, as I said, there have been flyers handed out by both sides,
right.
And they're bilingual.
Right, I understand. I mean, as I said about free radio, I'd like to see an outreach to the groups that are specifically considered the problem by you and by
others.
Well,
your free radio, go for it. But, individually, I'm sure there's, you know, individually, these are nice, you know, each person can be a nice person individually.
And as a group.
And have a story and make you sympathize and whatnot. But it's what happens when they all get together and they're doing an activity that just is, you know, includes guns and knives.
I hear you. Theodore, thank you for calling in, and hopefully I'll see you tomorrow.
You will, and I'm glad you're coming.
Hey. All
okay.
Right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Phone lines are open, 427-3772. We're talking about the event happening tomorrow down in the Lower Ocean area. I guess it's sort of a dual event. Some of it is in front of Little Caesar's Pizza Place on Ocean and I think it's Barson. I think that's the name of the street, the cross street there. And then the other one is at Laurel and Barson, or Laurel and... Let me get this right here. If I can get my computer to work again. It's always a trial. Let's see here. I always have these kind of problems. You're tuned to Free Radio 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. I was going to get into some Detroit stuff, but I think I may postpone the Detroit interviews for until Sunday after this event is over. Maybe we'll have, you know, gotten some more information about that. According to this, the second event, the barbecue is at the end of Barson Street, down the stairs, as you cross the Laurel Bridge at the corner of Laurel and San Lorenzo. If you know where that is. We have a caller. Hey there, caller. You're on Free Radio with Robert.
Yeah, Robert, I was just going to say exactly what you just said. So it's going to be basically at the east end of the Laurel Broadway Bridge, down at the little cul-de-sac, at the end of Barson Street. So
is it visible from the bridge? It's visible from the street? It's down under? Where the heck is it, anyway?
No. As you cross the Broadway Laurel Bridge, and you go across the crosswalk to the east side of the bridge,
right,
there's a set of stairs that go down to the end of Barson Street. My read of the press release from Indy Bay is that the gathering will be there.
So this is about two blocks from Little Caesars, right?
More like three blocks.
More like three blocks. So people are going to have to stretch their legs if they want to meet the folks of a different persuasion.
They're not going to be close to each other, no.
Right. Well, who knows? Maybe somebody will have a bike, and they'll be able to, you know, go back and forth between the two groups to communicate messages.
Well, I also wanted to point out that the Take Back Santa Cruz folks have also done things like clean up the Evergreen Cemetery of debris, the Almar railway line crossing, cleaned up debris out there. They did a Take Back the Street action at Laurel and Pacific. These are all tactics that, are not really confrontational, but they're much like the Take Back the Streets actions that the women's movement has done in the past. And I don't think that, my personal feeling is that, that kind of thing is a positive thing that puts people out on the street and says, this is our town too. If you want to be a criminal, maybe you want to find someplace else to be a criminal. Doesn't necessarily talk about the causes of crime itself. So,
I hear what you're saying,
Dennis. Take my comments for what it is, and at this point I have to get off the phone and get in my car.
I'll argue with you when you get here.
All right, Robert. Bye.
Sounds good. But I will say this. While what Dennis is saying certainly has some merit and some truth to it, it's also true that I've heard Take Back Santa Cruz people, or people who described they were with that group, denounce opening up additional medical marijuana distribution centers because it, quote, produces more drug dens, quote unquote, like they found at the cemetery that they were so nicely cleaning up. And they were able to, in essence, also, there was some praise for being able to drive away illegal campers. So it's not simply, an environmentally friendly group going around trying to help things out or folks who want to add, more life to the sidewalk. There is an agenda here, I think, which is not particularly pleasant. And it feeds on fear rather than on, I think, a positive perspective of, of including everyone. Particularly their use of the police. Call the police if you see, quote, illegal activity, which includes sleeping at night, which includes sitting on the sidewalk, which includes panhandling, however peacefully, after dark. It includes all kinds of behaviors that have been made into illegal activities by merchants and conservative residents and staff members who want to gentrify the city. So I think, there's a really mixed bag here, and it'd be very interesting to see what comes out of tomorrow's joint meetings, joint events or demonstrations, the one at Ocean and Barson, the other about two or three blocks down Barson, right where Barson kind of dead ends near the bridge, the Broadway Bridge. And that's actually where it is, as I can understand. And thank you, Dennis, for calling in and clarifying that point. So I am going to try to reach Attorney Jonathan Gettleman, because he had some interesting stuff he wanted to discuss, and I think he may have had trouble calling in because we have had many callers on the line. And thank you, callers, for being on the line. I appreciate that. And let's see if I can get through to him. We'll give him a call. Let's see if we can. See where we're at here. And I'm dialing through to his, what may be his cell phone, but may actually be his office phone. We'll see if we can actually reach him and whether we're going to actually get him on the air tonight, which would be an interesting phenomenon if it happens, but we may not. In which case, perhaps we can get him to call in on Sunday morning. I talked earlier
about... Hello, this is Jonathan Gettleman.
No,
I'm not in
like
right
his,
now. But if you please leave
his answering machine. We'll leave him a message,
a
though.
Brief message. I will get back to you just as soon as I'm able. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
And here comes the beep. Hey, Jonathan, calling you live on Free Radio. Looks like you weren't able to get through to us, or you had other things you had to do. But I will be on again 9:30 on Sunday morning from 9:30 to 1 in the afternoon. I encourage you to give a call to 427-3772. Thanks. So, that, of course, means anybody listening also has the option to give a call to 427-3772, and I encourage you to do that. And apparently, somebody is. Hey there, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Hey. Welcome back to town, Rob.
Drum Circle Dave, how are you doing?
Yeah, hey, what's going on, man?
Well, you should know you're listening to my show, I hope.
Oh, well, yeah, but you couldn't get a hold of Gettleman.
I couldn't get a hold of Gettleman.
In the Congress there.
Well, he's a busy attorney,
these
attorneys.
Various places.
Yes.
Heading on unemployment and whether 32,000 people will be able to starve this coming month is definitely something Congress should be looking into.
Well, Congress is very busy defending the banks, you know that.
All of that combined within only three states in America. What about the rest of 47 of them, or what wasn't it, 52?
Iraq. Enough of your communist prattle. Now, come on now. What's happening with the drum circle? I wasn't in town yesterday, so I don't know. You can give us all the updates.
Harms came through, celebrity visit. Yeah, pulled through on the right, and then came back around for a left-hand jab, stopped his car, yelled out to some hippies or some kids or whoever they were that were hanging out in your car, "Hey, what are you doing? Leaning on that car," and they just fessed up and said, "Hey, it's a friend of ours, man. Bye." You know, hanging out near a car.
Dave, let me ask you, did they leave the car? Did they continue to lounge?
No, they were lounging quite well, I would say. But, you know, to me, I'm too busy drumming, but as soon as he started hassling people, well, I just got off my drums and just kind of, you know, went over there, you know, gave him a gaze.
Well, I hope you didn't attack him with your drum. You know, you can get criminal charges for that.
I thought of, you know, maybe a stray stick happening to appear in midair above his car and slamming into the hood of it. But, with him inside there, he might come out with his taser gun.
Just make sure you watch your step. I know that...
I'm watching my P's and Q's down there, but everyone's well invited that lives in Santa Cruz to come to the Drum Circle on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Might even run into Robert Norse there. Hey.
It's possible. I'll be again tomorrow. I'm going to check out this Take Back Santa Cruz / local barbecue that's happening downtown on, you know, in front of Little Caesars and then down the road near the Broadway Bridge in the area right across the street from the Broadway Bridge, you know, where the road dead ends.
Oh man, this is tough now. So you're going to go to an open pit barbecue.
Well, I'm not sure quite what they're going to be barbecuing. They may be barbecuing me, for all I know, or somebody else. Actually, the barbecue people are the ones who talk about downtown for all, and let's not call the police every time, you know, we see someone sleeping outside, and, you know.
They could just be, you know, waiting for, you know, to be picked up or something, you know. I mean, what's the problem? Just people gathering around in Santa Cruz. This barbecue is at Broadway and we said Riverside.
It's at Barson, where Barson dead ends next to Broadway. You know where the Broadway Bridge is? It's right across the street. There's not a direct street connection, but you walk down a stairway and you get to a street. You know what I'm talking about.
Kind of behind the boardwalk.
Right. So, I mean, it's not the issue. You may have not have been listening, but, you know, Theodora called in. She's a longtime resident there. She supports the rights of people like sex workers. She supports the rights of people to smoke medical marijuana or recreational marijuana. She's been on the show talking about these issues, but she's concerned with safety in her neighborhood. She does not feel safe having, you know, hard drug dealers with weapons on the street, you know, particularly, you know, macho males who are, you know, not particularly respectful of the rights of the other residents and don't mind.
She professes that this is a fact, that there are hardened criminals?
Yes. Well, she, by hardened criminals, she means, she means criminals who are dealing.
Rubber weapons, not automatic, but.
Well, we're talking
guns,
about,
right?
I suppose we're talking about knives and guns. I don't know if they're automatic or, you know, semi-automatic or.
If they were automatic, man,
ordinary,
well, hey, the
cops
would be there. I mean, the FBI would go down there, but I mean.
No, nobody said automatic weapons, as far as I know. But the fact is, you know, if you live in a neighborhood and you see people selling hard drugs on the street in a way that, you know, and then you read in the paper there being knife fights, and you find that they seem to be oblivious to any kind of normal communication, although it's not too clear exactly how much communication has been attempted, although she talked about trying to get people to turn down their music late at night, and they just sort of, you know, essentially blew her off until it, you know, eventually
they
did.
Every night, man?
I don't have the details, but there is a general feeling, and she, you know,
after 10, I figure, hey, you know, I mean, even the cops in the mall shut me down at 10.
Right.
So.
Well, I think I have no idea when it was, but I suspect it was probably later at night. Anyway, all that's going to be happening tomorrow, and I encourage you to show up, maybe with or without a drum. You can
Santa Cruz. Right there behind, say, is this like the Wheelworks Road? You know, behind Wheelworks is a little road.
Well, I know that if you take Barson down to what used to be Togo's and is now a Mexican restaurant.
Togo's by the old Laugermat.
Right, and then across the street from...
Oh, that's like Ocean Street,
the, yeah, across the street from that is Little Caesars. That's where the Take Back...
Yeah, that's Ocean
Street, Wait a minute, Dave.
Man.
That's where the Take Back Our Town thing is happening. Three blocks down Barson... If you go to the Broadway Bridge area, that's where the barbecue is happening. So there are two different events happening.
Oh, so one's at the Broadway Bridge.
And the other one is at Ocean and Barson.
The San Lorenzo River.
Right, and the ocean is Ocean and Barson. I believe Barson is that cross street.
Yeah, Barson, okay.
So if you want to hear both sides of the story, or as Theodora puts it, feel both sides of the coin, you got to go to both those events. Maybe you can get a piece of pizza and a bit of barbecue. You never can tell.
Well, no, but what I'm wondering is what time?
Well, it's 5:30 for the Take Back Santa Cruz tomorrow night, and then it's 5 o'clock.
At the Barson Bridge?
At the Barson Bridge for the other event.
Oh,
barbecue.
That's where I figure I can, you know, drum right 5 there.
5 o'clock.
So
5 o'clock.
Nice
at the 5 o'clock at the
stuff,
5 o'clock.
Right?
Dave. 5 o'clock at the Broadway Bridge. At you know, and then
Broadway
3 blocks
Bridge,
up.
Hold
it. 3 blocks up at 5:30 at Little Caesars, and that's where
right,
it's at.
Right. Yeah, man.
Okay.
So, yeah, man, you're talking between Ocean and Broadway.
I am, and I'm leaving you now. Is there anything else?
Pizza, and then back.
I'm taking off. Any other reports?
Okay, yeah. Watch your P's and Q's, everybody, at the drum circle. But, hey, turn your back on the police when they get there because, hey, they're just police. And what can they do? You know, we don't have guns or knives like they do.
You have drumsticks. Talk to you later. Thanks, Dave. See, I learned how to do that in Detroit. You can just sort of cut somebody off. Ooh, the thrill. Actually, I don't have much time. I got 8 minutes left, and Dennis is due in here momentarily. I'm going to actually give you a little taste of the kind of discussions that were coming over the air nationally at Detroit. This actually is from the Homeless Marathon, and we'll begin with this. And I think I'll continue on Sunday with more of this, but we'll see how this actual audio recorder works. My first ever involvement with real audio equipment rather than my medieval tape recorders. So we'll see how this goes.
To move because my income was too high. I was getting a Social Security check for my daughter. They said, your income is too high, so you're going to have to move out of this temporary place. And they put me into a rental townhouse where my rent was much, much higher. So it's always been this little catch-22 type of a thing where if you've got income that's a couple dollars over the poverty limit, you know, it's just sad. But I just want to say this before I go. You're talking about temporary housing and permanent housing. We've got temporary jobs that people have been working for years, and they're good jobs. So why can't we have temporary housing? I'll take a temporary house for 12 months. months or 18 months over being homeless.
Well, Sally, what's your answer to this?
Thank you very much, Sherry. We do have two programs that are provide temporary subsidy to people. One is called the Tenant-Based Rental Assistance Program, where here at MISHTA, we support close to 1,000 people across the state, and they get a two-year voucher. That's using a federal resource that comes to the state of Michigan called the Home Program. And we've been fairly successful with that, because what we have tried to do and what the service agencies are working on is to try within that two-year time period to help people get back on their feet and get into permanent housing. The second program is the new one that I was telling folks about, this Homeless Prevention and Rapid Rehousing Program, where you can pay rent to people to keep them housed if they're lost their jobs, but you can also use that money through the Rapid Rehousing Program to get people back into housing and to pay their rent for a period of time while, once again, they get back on their feet.
Well, Sally, we're out of time, but I want to thank you very much, Sally Harrison from the Michigan State Housing Development Authority, for being on the show. I guess what you can say is there's just palpable frustration out there, and it's easy to understand why.
Right. It's a difficult situation to be in once you've lost your housing.
You are listening to the Homelessness Marathon, produced in conjunction with the community radio WHFR in Dearborn, Michigan. The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily those of the producing or participating organizations or of the originating and affiliated radio stations. To hear the webcast of this broadcast, view live video, or contact the Homelessness Marathon, go to homelessnessmarathon.org.
And that's an example of actually the Homelessness Marathon, which many of you heard last night. And we're going to be playing more, not of the Homelessness Marathon, but of interviews that I had backstage while I was waiting to go on as a host. You can actually get the archives by going to homelessnessmarathon.org. And Free Radio was gracious enough to play almost all the Homelessness Marathon. And I want to thank them again for doing that. Thank you, Dennis, and thank all the rest of you folks who gave up your shows on Tuesday night to allow that to happen. We have about 4 minutes. Uncle Dennis should be tromping into the studio shortly, and I will be slipping out the back, or actually there's only one entrance. Let's check out one story here. Woman jailed by mistake. A mentally ill homeless woman was locked up for 7 months in the parish prison without ever having an attorney appointed to represent her after the East Baton Rouge Parish DA's office made a clerical error in her file. I hear a knock at the door, so don't go away. Coming, Uncle Dennis, I'm coming. Come in.
Just be
right, continuing my tirade for the last 3 minutes. Melissa E. Posh, 55, held in the East Baton Rouge Parish Prison since July 22nd, when she was arrested by the sheriff's office on 4 misdemeanors. She was released Wednesday after family members drew attention to the case, and the DA's office realized it made a mistake. That was 7 months later. Meanwhile, a family member said Wednesday night they still have not been told that she had been released from Parish Prison or where she went. Now, Little B. Posh, her sister-in-law, said they are still looking for her. I just never dealt with anything like this in my life, Libby Posh said. I've always trusted in people. Melissa Posh should have been released in August, but instead was kept in jail for another 6 months because of the error, D.A. Hilar Moore said. The problems began in late August when an assistant D.A. decided to not charge Posh and to have her released from jail, Moore said. Posh remained in jail, Moore said, unbeknownst to anyone in the D.A.'s office, when the attorney erroneously sent the jail a message saying only one misdemeanor count had been dropped. Moore said the error occurred because of a mislabeled file folder. Someone mistakenly placed only one of the 4 misdemeanors on the outside of his office's internal file folder on Posh. Normally, we would have had all four of the counts written on the outside of the file, Moore said, but that didn't happen with her file. Moore said an assistant DA reviewed Posch's file in late August, and at that time his office decided the arrest itself was punishment enough. But on August 27th, when the assistant DA was sending the message regarding Posch's case to the jail, he looked only at the outside of the folder, Moore said, and seeing only one count, sent the... And I'm afraid that we're going to have to end it here because my computer has either run out of juice, and I think I've pretty much run out of time. Let's see here. Yeah, that's about it for the moment.
No juice, Robert. We have water.
You have ale, too, I understand, Uncle Dennis.
Well, no.
Uh-oh. That's
actually...
No ale for what ails us?
Tonight, we are going to be drinking Skittlebrow Mark II.
That's pretty strange. Skittlebrow, eh? Well, that's the thrill that awaits you in about a minute and 30 seconds when Uncle Dennis's show... overcomes and overwhelms the far superior programming of Free Radio Santa Cruz's favorite show, Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. But that happens every week, in spite of all my pleas for a change.
Well, Robert, I'm not sure that the quantity of your programming on Free Radio Santa Cruz outweighs the quality of From the...
See how he is? See how he is, folks? All right, well, I'm just going to leave because I don't want to dignify that comment with a reply. I will be seeing you Friday evening as we chat with drug dealers, bigots, and local barbecue fanatics trying to work out the problems of how do you deal with hard drug dealers in a town, in a country that doesn't recognize that the drug war is crazy. We'll find out. And you can find out, too. And I'll be back on Sunday with more information on the whole thing, perhaps some tape even or some audio, 9:30 in the morning. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. Give me a call at 423-HUFF if you have any comments.
quite a bit of Santana there for your listening pleasure. Uncle Dennis here in the studio as Robert picks up his detritus and hopefully makes his way out into the balmy atmosphere of Santa Cruz. He apparently has been taught a rather object lesson in climate, having spent a few days in Detroit, where it was 20 degrees, I understand. And that's above zero, but still 13 degrees below freezing. Anyway, Robert, of course, will be back on Sunday morning sometime, depending on whether he gets up before Thomas does or not. And if he survives the barbecue and riot on Barson Street tomorrow evening. And see you later, Robert. Bye-bye. Uncle Dennis here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 and www.freakradio.org is what you're tuned to. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we will be opening tonight's Brew of the Week is Skittlebrow Mark II. And in case you're wondering whether it's made out of Skittles, yes, it is. I have not tasted this before, but this is one of those brewer's concoctions that is becoming all too common these days. Anyway, stay tuned for that beer tasting at 8:30. Then at 9 o'clock, of course, the Earth First Update, a whole half hour of environmental news for you right here on Free Radio. And then back to music at 9:30, and then at 10 o'clock, the Spotlight Group of the Week, and we'll have a whole hour of music for you from one artist or group, so stay tuned for all of that. And, of course, at 11 o'clock, right after my show ends, is the hour of Slack. Reverend Bob and the whole crew just having their wonderful, crazy, wacky time. They have also been on the air for a long time. They may even predate Free Radio. But Free Radio Santa Cruz has been on the air almost 15 years now. We will be having some events in March for our listeners and others who are interested in Free Radio. We're still nailing those down, but keep Saturday, March 13th free. In the evening, we're trying to get something together on that evening. We are trying to get our birthday party together on Saturday, March 27th. And then keep Saturday, April 10th open, because we may be having someone really big coming to Santa Cruz for a big benefit on April 10th of celebrating our 15th year. So Free Radio Santa Cruz, 15 years in your ear, and hopefully paving the way for even longer broadcasting adventures in the future. Anyway, back to the music here with Argent.